I want to say thank you, firstly, for allowing me that time and space that you've given me over the summer. It's good to be back, and it's great that we have been reminded in the song this morning, just that we've sung now, of all that God has done for us, because that's very much the sense of what I shall be sharing with you this morning. Now, you may remember at the beginning of the year, you were given your tent peg, and you were given the Bible verse, and it's the Bible verse that we're continuing to look at today as we talk about further about enlarging the place of your tent. And I'm sure you're going to recite with me the text for our year: enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. And you may think, but it's just a Bible verse. But it isn't, because it's a verse that we really felt challenged by as ministers and as a leadership team, which is why we're sharing with us. We really feel it's what God is wanting us to do this year. Sam, I seem to be coming in and out on a microphone, so I'm just going to change onto this one, because I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm coming and going. It's one way to put it. So I shall switch onto this one. Maybe I'll turn this one off as well. Hopefully. Ooh.
Okay. Are we going to be...
No, this one's flashing as well. Okay, this one's flashing orange. I'm going to switch back onto the original one and hope that the technology will work itself out. Right. God, it's good to be back. Okay, so when we think about the message that we've got, that we're looking at today, enlarging the place of your tent, you will have heard that in the two readings that Peter read to us this morning. That one that we would have been very familiar with the story of Abraham leaving his homeland and going where God told him to go, and being told that the land that he could see was going to be given to him and bless, and God would bless him and his generations. And then there was a second passage that you instantly saw was a list of genealogies, and I wonder how many of you automatically turned off. Because let's face it, the book of Chronicles isn't necessarily the one that instantly leaps to mind when we turn to our Bibles, because it's full of names, full of people that we don't know. And yet, in that second passage this morning are two key verses that we are looking at this morning. And we are being helped in that by a book by Bruce Wilkinson that's called The Prayer of Jabez. It's not very thick, is it? Breaking Through to the Blessed Life. And in that verse passage from 1 Chronicles, it says, and I'm going to repeat the two verses, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Verse 10, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Maybe we've noted those two verses in particular, but you'll know them next time you come across them. Because first of all, I want us to look at that sense of knowing who we are and who and what God wants us to be. Now, all of us, if we've come to that point in our journey where we've given our lives to God, and we have accepted God's forgiveness for the things we've done wrong, and we've accepted God into our lives and declared Jesus as our Lord and Savior and recognize he went to the cross for us, we will know at that point that we became God's children. We are his sons and his daughters, and it doesn't matter of our upbringing or our birth or our heritage or anything else that's gone before. At that moment when we have come to Christ, when we've come to God and allowed him to come into our lives, we have become co-heirs with Christ. We've become God's children. That is the reality of living in the New Testament and the post-New Testament, because that's what the New Testament tells us, that when we come to faith, we become God's children. We know who we are in God, his sons and his daughters. But Jabez wasn't born in the New Testament times. Jabez was born in the Old Testament times. And if we know anything about our Old Testament, we will know that their understanding of God is very different to those who followed since Jesus came down to earth. For Jabez, we read his mother had named him Pain, or he will or has caused pain. What a terrible thing to land your child with. If we think back to Old Testament times, and even to today's times when we are naming our children, sometimes we will name them to pick up that sense of a family history, perhaps. Our son was blessed, not his words, ours, with two middle names, one representing one side of the family and one representing the other side of the family as his two middle names, and one he was pleased with and one he pretends doesn't exist at all and would preferably not mention in passing, but he's been landed with them because that's what, as parents, we chose to do, and he, as a parent, has chosen not to bless his children with that sense that we chose to do, because when we are naming our children, we are naming them for all sorts of reasons, aren't we? Perhaps we're picking up that family line, that family history. For other times, we're maybe naming our children to pick up maybe attributes or characteristics. Maybe as we pray for the name for our child, we do so with that sense of who they will become in God. And so we have wonderful names such as blessing or patience, or and so the names go on. But for Jabez, he wasn't blessed in the name that he was given. Pain. It's not necessarily the most positive of names, is it? Pain. He causes or will cause pain. So I started by asking that question, know who we are and what God wants us to be. And for Jabez, he was named Pain, for someone who will or has caused pain. So how would that have left him feeling? And yet in that same passage, we read that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. So how do those two things tie together? Well, firstly, Jabez was born in Canaan. He was born of the clan of Judah. We can work that out by listening and looking at the genealogy that's there. Jabez would have grown up knowing about the God of his ancestors, the God that we've been talking and singing about this morning, the God to whom has blessed the nations and blessed the people that he has chosen, as we read through the Old Testament. He grew up knowing that God had taken them from one place and then taken them to Egypt and then brought them out of Egypt and taken them into the promised land. He would have known the way that God had used some of his ancestors, people such as Abraham, who changed his name to Abraham, or Sarah, who became Sarah, or Jacob, who changed his name to Israel. He would have grown up knowing all of that and perhaps being lumbered with a name Pain. He too wanted that sense of being blessed and used by God. And maybe that's what lay behind his anguished cry to God, to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. This is a man who wanted to know who he was in the eyes of God and wanted to be different from the way that he had grown up and the way that he had been named. When he was crying out to God to bless him, he wasn't saying the way that we do when we sit down and have a meal, bless this food to our bodies. Or perhaps when we're praying a blessing over a family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. No, he was wanting God and his view of God to be completely different, to be more like those that he'd read about or knew about that had gone before him. His view of God, He didn't want to be limited, but he wanted to have an unlimited view of God. I don't know how many of you have been to the Tower of London or to some of the other castles from around our country or in other countries, and you know that they were built for defensive reasons. And so in the castle walls, there are those little slits that they can look out and fire their arrows through to defend them. But their view on what is outside is quite restricted by the narrowness of the slit. Or maybe you've been down into the dungeons and you know that in the dungeons of a castle or some of the other historic places that have been used to keep people, the only bit of light may be just high up and you can't really see anything through it. Jabez didn't want his view of God to be a restricted view, but he wanted to know the enormity and the limitless awareness of what God can do. He wanted, if you like, to stand on the top of a castle and see all that was enrolled before him, the countryside and the miles and the sky and the beauty of all that was there. That is what Jabez is saying to God here in this verse. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. I want to know the enormity and the power and to allow you to use me in a way that I can't begin to imagine. That's why he said, enlarge my territory. That's what is meant by this passage when we talk about our text. We don't want it just as a set of words that we recite, but we want it to be a prayer that we pray to say to God, we want to do and know you more, to do more amazing things, to learn more about you this year. That's why we're revisiting the passage this month. We know from this first reading that Peter read about Abraham, who had gone from one place and had then travelled into another, and God had promised that he would bless his descendants and would give the land to them. And we know from the story of the Old Testament that is exactly what happened. And that is what Jabez was wanting in that sense for himself, to know that power of God at work through him and for his awareness and understanding of God to be so much greater. Reminded me of the words in Luke's Gospel, Luke 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? When we ask God to bless us, to give us a better understanding of the power that he has or the way he may want us to be used by him, he's wanting to do it in a way that we will bless others but also be blessed in the process. But we have to first of all want to enlarge our tent, to enlarge our territory, to open ourselves up to God's goodness. But sadly, all too often, and the first picture can go up, thank you, Sam, we contain God in our own understanding. There's hopefully going to be a picture that's going to come up onto the screen that kind of just in a humorous way talks about how we contain God in our understanding. And it says, come on, God, get in there. Because what we try to do with God is to squash him into our understanding rather than recognize his enormity. If we can just stay up for another moment. So secondly, how do we allow God out of that box, so to speak, and not restrict him because of our understanding or because of our faith journey or because of our fears? Thank you. It can just go now. Back off. It isn't easy. I know from our own experience that allowing God to move us and to do something mighty or different or that's demanding more of us can be quite a scary thing to do. The first number of years in our ministry together, we had ministered in a local setting, a bit like here at Romford, where in the first place and in the second place that God had taken us to, we knew the community and we knew the church and we knew the surrounding churches and we would work with them. And then things changed. And God took us from that local church setting to working across Essex and Cambridgeshire and Norfolk and Suffolk. And it was a bit like in the sense that God said to Abraham, I'm going to take you from here and I'm going to send you there. And we went, and life was going to be very different to what we had experienced before. But because we had been willing, in a sense, a bit like Jabez, to say, okay, God, we're here to serve you, we ended up in a different role. And sometimes the places we've ended up in our ministry hasn't necessarily been what we would have chosen. But it's about being willing to say to God, I want to know more about you. I want you to use me, us, in a way that is right for us, in a way that is in step with you. And that should be the prayer for each one of us. It may have been as you've gone through your lives, it may be for what is the journey to come. But if we are serious about wanting to enlarge our territory, to know more about God, and to be challenged by God to do something different, then we need to do something that Bruce Wilkinson mentions in his book. And it says this: oh God, please expand my opportunities and my impact in such a way that I touch more lives for your glory. Let me do more for you. Enlarge my territory. Let me do more for you. Let me know more about you. Let me touch more lives through the way I live day by day. When the meeting place first opened, it was a place a bit like Parkside, as we've already mentioned, where it was opened in faith and with a vision, a place where we wanted to meet with the community and for the community to meet with God. And over the 5 years or so that it's been opened, you will know that when Alison has talked about the meeting place, she's talked about the way we have been able to bless those who've come through the doors. Through the volunteers and the staff who have sought to walk with people, for those who've come through the door and just wanted help in a practical way, or just to have someone listen to them and to offer to pray with them. Or as they've come through the doors to get a coffee before they've gone over to the courts, they've at various points come back and said, thank you for your time, thank you for your witness, thank you for what you've done. You don't know what it means. For your willingness to pray with me. That's, in a sense, those Jabez opportunities of enlarging the territory and allowing God to be at work through that place out the front. And each of us have that opportunity in our day-to-day lives, whether we are at home or in the supermarket. And I know from what you've been telling me that some of you have already been doing this in conversations at the supermarket or on the bus or at school or with your colleagues, that opportunity to enlarge our territory, to be braver for God, which is what we're being called to do. And the second picture, if it would please to go up, it's about saying to God, oh, you can't read that very well, I shall read it to you. It's a bit small, I apologise. It's saying to God, I don't want it to be my abilities and my experience and my understanding and my personality and my appearance and my past and my expectations of others to be the things that are important, because that will be like my assigned territory, the things that I'm comfortable with. But we want it to be our willingness and our weaknesses to go hand in hand with God's will and God's supernatural power, that we'll see God uses us in an expanded territory, in an enlarged territory, in a way that means that God will be able to bless others through what we can do. And it can have a profound impact on so many lives, like it was when Salem felt that vision to set up this church here on this place, or for Parkside being set up the road, or the meeting place being open so that the meeting area at the front wasn't just for a Sunday but is a Monday to Friday opportunity. Enlarge our territory. Help us to know more about God. And thirdly, time is shooting past. We need to be willing to be like Jabez when he made that prayer. Enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. Do something amazing. Help me to learn more about God. If you've been connecting in on the Sunday evening services over the weeks of 2023, you'll know that we've touched on this again and again. You'll know that when the Israelites got to the River Jordan, the priests actually had to put their feet in the water before the river dried up. Or if you were here over the summer and we were watching and listening to the story of Noah, and I've loved watching it from home and engaging with it, we know that Noah had to build the ark even before the rain began to fall. And if we really want God to enlarge the place of our tent, as our church text says, we need to be willing to take that step, even when we don't know where it may take us, even though we're not sure what may happen next, because it's about walking with God and finding where he will take us. As Jabez said, let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. Jabez started from his understanding, and he wanted a much greater understanding. A bit like that equation where my weakness and my will goes hand in hand with God, and we can do something amazing together. It's a bit like the disciples who had been sent out by Jesus as a 12, and then sent out by Jesus in a group of 72, and then on the day of Pentecost, what happened? Wow, the Holy Spirit comes down and they preach to thousands. The hand, in the hand of God, great things can be done. But also, in this passage, and as we think about the disciples on the day of Pentecost, it was about that sense of staying in touch with God through it all. Because we also know from our Bible what happens when we take our eyes off God and we look at what's going on around us. We can be pulled down by the circumstances we find ourselves in, by sorrow and hardship, or perhaps feeling threatened. And perhaps we feel a bit like Elijah this morning, who after that amazing encounter on Mount Carmel then ran away because he looked at what was going on around him and he took his eyes off God. I want to say to you this morning, if you are just struggling today, turn your eyes back onto God. Say to God, I want, instead of our limited view of you or trying to contain God in that proverbial box, I want to be overwhelmed by the enormity of your love and your power and your might. And even in my difficulties, I still want to trust you for where and what you may be taking me to next. For Elijah, he was given that opportunity and Elisha was brought alongside him. And maybe for some of us, we need someone to come alongside us. But we need to continue to pray that prayer. Keep us from harm, so that we can do what it is that God may be calling us to do. How many times do we start our day praying and redressing ourselves in the armor of God? The armor that's designed to equip us, but also to protect us. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Don't let's leave ourselves in a place where we can be easily tempted. But allow ourselves to be protected, because that is what God is wanting to do. Deliver us from evil. Doesn't necessarily mean that the evil and the things are not going to happen, because let's face it, that is life, and we live in a broken world. But we live in a world where, even though it's broken, we have a God who is more powerful And he can keep us going with our eyes fixed on him, no matter what it is that we may be facing. When Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night before his crucifixion, he prayed, "Lord, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." In all that we face day by day, help us to say to God, "I don't understand, but I'm still trusting you. I'm going to trust you to enlarge my territory. I'm going to trust you to give me more of an awareness of you. I'm going to trust you to maybe give me an encounter that I'm not expecting today. And I know that you'll be with me as we go through it." Another way of looking at enlarge the place of our tent is not doing it by saying, "Keep us comfortable, God, because I don't want my nice, tidy life to be disturbed." But rather, "Here I am, God. And whatever you've got for me, even though I may be scared, I'm going to trust you for what may lie ahead." And the last part of that passage from 1 Chronicles says, "And God granted Jabez what he requested." He prayed, trusted, knew who he was, and God kept him safe from harm. Can we trust, have that faith, and ask God for an abundance of his power this morning? Let's pray. Father God, each one of us will be walking a different road. Each one of us will have maybe a mountaintop experience today or be stuck down in the valley, but we thank you that you are the God of each and every one of us, the God of the highs and the lows, the hard times and the joyous ones. And we pray that we may be willing to allow you to wrap us around and walk with us at those times of difficulty and those times of hardship by keeping our eyes fixed on you. And Lord, we pray even more that at those times where we want to enlarge what you can do through us by putting our hands into yours, we will continue to keep praising and trusting and being open to where you may lead us to go, so that, Lord, we can be like Jabez, blessed and known for being your people, called to do what you want to do through us and our lives as individuals and as a church. So we ask this in your name. Amen.